Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Before we get into our lesson this morning, I want to take this opportunity to invite our listening audience to a special series of lessons that we are going to have at the Harrisburg Church of Christ beginning on September the 23rd through the 28th. Our speaker will be Brother Phil Arnold from Louisville, Kentucky. We will be meeting at regular times on Sunday at Bible study for 9:30, worship at 10:20, and again at 6:30 Sunday evening, and then Monday through Friday during the week at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come and be with us to hear God's word preached and explained in accordance with His will. We know nothing from you. There will be no offerings taken up. We don't want your money. We want you to come with an open mind, an open Bible, study God's word with us, and let us show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember that time, September 23rd through the 28th, Monday through Friday, and we ask you to come and be with us in every opportunity you might have. We have been examining the subject of the writings of the Apostle Peter. We are in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we are looking at the mind that glorifies God. And we finished off looking at verse number 2, that we should live for the will of God. Now, we need to understand, in order to do that, we're going to have to live in a particular way. Now, in verse 3 and 4, it lists some sins that we must strive to avoid in our lives if we're going to have the mind of Christ. First one says lasciviousness. This is a word that describes unbridled or unrestrained lust or activities that produce or engender evil lust. This could be a host of things, like immodesty, lewd dancing, heavy petting, filthy speech, images on TV, movies, on the internet, that could lead us to lust in our heart. And so we must try to avoid those things and put them out of the way that doesn't lead us into sin. And then you have the word lust. Contextually, Peter speaks of evil lusts that originate in the flesh and corrupt the righteous life of Christians. Illicit sexual pleasure, covetousness, greed, pleasure of sin, and anything that we make lust take control of our mind and would lead us into sin. Notice, whatever controls the mind is going to control the action. So we must keep our mind pure. And then he's going to talk about drinking, and it's very important that we spend a little time on this because there is a great misunderstanding about what many people think about drinking. I want to, for our audience, I want us to read again, verse number 3, 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. For we have spent enough time of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. Now, we have already looked at lewdness and lust, but now we want to look at three other words that have to do with the consumption of alcohol. First, wine bibbing. This is a reference to debauchery, dispensation, or excessive indulgence in wine drinking. We would call it drunkenness. We would call it being intoxicated. And so that is forbidden. That's something that is done by those who do not have God in their mind. And then you have revelings. This denotes excessive feasting and merrymaking with reference to feast and drinking parties that are protracted late into the night, where there is an indulgence in dancing and other lewd activities. But then it talks about carousing. And if you have the King James Version, it uses the word banqueting. What is the meaning of this word banqueting and carousing? This word primarily means drinking, especially drinking parties. It can convey, and it seems in this setting, just as an evening of drinking together, what we might call social drinking. And so in this context of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, You have been condemned by the Apostle Peter, who wrote by the inspiration of God, who condemns all levels of drinking, drunkenness, partying, and social drinking. All of them are considered actions of a mind that is like the mind of the Gentiles that did not have any knowledge or had no relationship with God. A man that has no relationship with God would practice those things. And all three levels are sinful. There is a great misteaching that's done by many religious people and even by some in the Lord's church that drinking is fine as long as it's in moderation. In other words, it's all right to sin as long as we do it in moderation. No, there is no level of drinking that is honorable and right in the sight of God. All three categories of intoxication, partying, and social drinking are condemned as being part of the works of the flesh, and so it must be avoided. Now, I know there are religions who practice drinking, who encourage drinking, as long as it's done in moderation, and that it's not sinful. But that is a misunderstanding of 1 Peter 4 and verse number 3. Anybody who thinks that it's okay to social drink, how are you going to answer this passage? How are you going to square that when the Apostle Peter, who wrote by inspiration, says that it is equal to doing the will of the flesh and not the will of God? Drinking is incompatible with Christianity. I do not understand how people who claim to be children of God, claim to be religious, claim to love God, would cling to a worldly habit like drinking and think that it's okay as long as we do it in moderation. What about other sins? Could we want to commit adultery in moderation? Could we gamble in moderation? Could we talk and use filthy language in moderation? That argument won't work in any sin. You can't be moderate in sin. You either are guilty of sin or you're not. And so Peter, in 1 Peter 4, 3, condemns every level of drinking as being a work of the flesh and not a work of God. And then he says, abominable idolatry. This describes the pagan religious practices of the Gentiles in honoring their false deity, their rituals that often involve both drinking and immoral activity in honor of their gods. Now, in some of their religions, they practice fornication as part of their religious service. That happened in Corinth, in First Corinthians. There were temple prostitutes that part of the worship of that pagan god was to commit sin, to commit fornication with a harlot, with a prostitute. Again, that is not conducive to being a child of God. That is a work of the flesh, and it'd be something that if we're going to have the mind of Christ, if we're going to have a mind that glorifies Christ, we're going to have to not participate in it. And then it says, notice what it says next, that they, in regard to this, they think it's strange. What do they mean, strange? Well, it's noted in a previous lesson, suggests the notion of a novel. It's odd. It's different. It's unusual. How Gentiles view Christians, weird, might be a word that we might use today. It says, not run with them. You run not with them. What does that mean? This expression means Christians do not flock together with them, as birds who stay with their own kind. They do not run in the company of them as people and only engage in activities peculiar to themselves. We're not going to run with the crowd. We're not going to do what the crowd does. Excessive riot. This word for excess means to pour out. And the word for riot here means reckless, unrestrained, or abandoned activities. Our world catches the meaning of this ideal of drinking and sexual immorality. The word here is unruly and drinking and prostitutes. Read Luke 15:13. Titus 1 verse 6, Ephesians 5 verse 18. Speaking evil. What possible evil could Gentiles speak of Christians who live holy, righteous, and upright lives? Forsaking and separating themselves from evil lust. Hypocrites, self-righteous, false rumors, Goody Two Shoes, Holy Joes, Zealots. They can say a lot, but one thing they can't say is that we're guilty of sin. When we don't run with them, they think it's strange that we do not participate with them. And since we don't participate with them, they're going to castigate us, and they're going to speak evil against us. Notice, and they will speak evil of you. They will speak evil of us because we don't participate in their sin. I remember when I was a young man that people used to try to shame me into drinking. Oh, you're too good to drink with us? Or you think one beer is going to turn you into a raging alcoholic? All of that is trying to get us to sin, to try to get us to change our convictions, to try to change our morals, and try to change the things that we know are right and honorable. Now, in these passages, in the first four verses of 1 Peter chapter 4, we are told that we must reject this type of thinking and this type of action. And we must reject it because it is the will of the flesh and the lust of the flesh and not the will of God. We must be practicing the will of God. And why should we do that? Well, verse 5, that we will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. Notice, we're going to give an account. Christians must not bow to the pressure of the world, knowing that they will stand before the judgment of Christ. Peer pressure is real, but we're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account before him. And so we need to worry more about that than what the world says about us. Account to God. Remember, first of all, that the account that we will have to give is not to evil men and what they think of us, but to God. Romans 14:12. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, for all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. We're going to give an account to God. Judgment of men. We must recognize that the acceptance of the gospel does not mean that men will judge us according to their own fleshly appetites. Men are going to judge us by their standards, not God's, but we're not under their judgment and live according to God. Yet, our acceptance of the gospel has to be a goal in living according to God in the Spirit. Though men of flesh pass judgment on us, unrighteous judgment, ungodly judgment, judgment is not accurate, we're not giving an account to them. We're not going to answer to them. We're going to answer to God. And so we must have our conduct, which is proper and holy and reverent and respectful, and according to God's instruction that he gives us in his will. We don't live by their standard. We don't march to the beat of their drum. We live by the standards of God, and we follow his instruction. We follow his law, and we follow his precepts. And when we do that, that will arm us with having the mind of Christ, and having the mind of Christ will help us to glorify God in our bodies and in our actions. But this can never happen if we don't say no to sin. We can't allow peer pressure, and we can't allow the world to shame us or intimidate us to live on a standard and live according to the standards of the world instead of the standard of God. We must determine that we're going to follow God, and we're not going to let anyone else tell us that it's wrong just because it doesn't agree with their thinking. Live for God and have the mind of Christ. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next.